out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 5th of June, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we're broadcasting live at radioarian.com, and I am joined by Nat Danelaw once again, who was ill the last time I spoke to him, but he seems on top form today. Nat, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on radioarian.com to do another podcast on this wonderful Tuesday.
I think we've got a really good subject today as well. Generation Z we are going to be talking about today. And I have had the pleasure to have quite a few interactions with Generation Z, and I am impressed by them. And I think what we'll begin with is just letting our listeners know what these generations are, because a lot of people get confused about it. I know myself was confused about it. I'm actually Generation X. What generation are you, Nat?
I'm a millennial of God's grace.
I'm Generation X, and I'm not going to give any more details than that, but the Silent Generation, they're still alive. They're also known as the Lucky Few. They were born from approximately 1925 to 1942, and it includes some who fought in World War II, most of those who fought in the Korean War, and many during the Vietnam War. I wonder if they call the Holohoaxers part of the Silent Generation. I think they call them something different, don't they? We have the Baby Boomers. They are the generation that were born mostly following World War II. There are no precise dates when the cohort birth years start and end. Typically, they range from the early to mid-1940s and end from 1960 to 1964. Increased birth rates were observed during the post-World War II baby boom, making them a relatively large demographic cohort. Next, we have Generation X, commonly abbreviated to Gen X. This is the generation following the baby boomers. In the US, some call Generation X's the baby bust generation because of the drop in the birth rates following the baby boom. The drop in fertility rates, it says here, in America began in the late 1950s. I would say it's an increase in abortion rates, not a drop in fertility rates. This is after abortion became very fashionable. But according to authors and demographers William Strauss and Neil Howe, who used 1961 to 1981 for Generation X birth years, there are approximately 88.5 million Generation Xers in America today. Millennials, they are also known as Generation Y, and that this is the term that I was used to calling millennials. When I was a young lad, they talked about the next generation, and it was always Generation Y, as in Y question mark. We were Generation X, and we thought that was Generation Ecstasy, and the next generation was Y. Why is the world the way that it is? But Generation Y, they are the cohort of people following Generation X. There are no precise dates for when this cohort starts or ends. Demographers and researchers typically use the early 1980s as starting birth years and the mid-1990s to early 2000s as ending birth years. According to Pew Research, as of April 2016, the millennials surpassed the baby boomers in size in the US, with 76 million boomers and 77 million millennials. Now we come to the subject of the podcast today, Generation Z, also known as the I generation, post-millennials, the homeland generation, or plurals. And this is the cohort of people born after the millennials. Demographers and researchers typically use the mid-1990s to mid-2000s as the starting birth years. And we've got a bit of information about the Generation Z. This comes from Wikipedia. It says, a 2016 US study found that church attendance during youth adulthood was 41% higher among Generation Z compared to 18% for millennials at the same age. They are generally more risk-averse in certain activities than earlier generations. In 2013, 66% of teenagers, the older members of Generation Z, had tried alcohol, and that was down from 82% in 1991. Generation Z youth also had lower teen pregnancy rates, less substance abuse, and higher on-time high school graduation rates compared with millennials. That's a 40% drop in teen pregnancy, a 38% drop in drug and alcohol abuse, and a 28% drop in the percentage of teens who did not graduate on time from high school. Their political views are conservative, even in Britain. And despite being immersed in technology, members of Generation Z actually prefer person-to-person contact as opposed to online interaction. Another important note to point out is Generation Z no longer wants just a job. They seek more than that. They want a feeling of fulfillment and excitement in their job that helps move the world forward. Generation Z is eager to be involved in their community and their futures. And even before college, Generation Z is already out in the world searching for how to take advantage of relevant professional opportunities that will give them experience for the future. Well, I find that really, really inspiring, Nat, to hear that about the the current generation, don't you?
Well, to a certain degree, it is. It does show that an interesting pattern, in my opinion. So let's take the baby boomers. Without a doubt, one of the more slothful generations, you know, having living off the fat of the nation of the previous generation, they grew very slothful, materialistic, and in total very selfish. Then came the Generation X, who had to attempt to keep the whole show going. Maybe being a bit more dutiful, if you will. Then came the next generation, the millennials, who, like the boomers, indulged themselves in narcissism and hyper-materialism, but without really any of the fat of the nation to grow, you know, slothful on. with that being said, not that there was much fat to begin with, since the baby boomer generation is still consuming mindlessly and entering new mortgages and crashing the markets of property as well as opportunities for loan and a welfare state. But here we see another generation. It's weird to see this weird jump, this pattern, where Generation Z seemingly seems to be more interested in trying to rebuild. But here comes the question. They seem to want more, and at the same time, they seem to crave fulfillment, purpose, and not just like get a job for the purpose of simply, you know, paying off the credit card debt. I think Generation Z is a very interesting prospect, since they do seem to have conservative leanings. But then comes the grand question, what exactly are they trying to conserve? Because at this point, you know, they are living amongst the ruins of a time long gone. I mean, we are living in a society where the national carrying capacity of white people is drastically dropping for each brown person they get in. I saw a study that indicated that, for example, if you took 10,000 Danes and transplanted them into Britain, for example, and this is with regards to the fact that, you know, there is some genetical distinctions and differences between British people and Danish people, but as a consequence in terms of the national carrying capacity, and this is just accounted for theoretical children in terms of genetics, but if you let in 10,000 Danes into Britain, it would at least call for the loss of 100,000 British born children. You know, just as a matter of fact, that Danes will be consuming resources. But if you took, for example, 10,000 Bantu niggers and transplanted them into Britain, their total cost of British born, you know, essentially genetic losses from Britain, that would account for at least 1.2 million, just to give you some thoughts. And this is, of course, in context with the resources available. Now, for the Generation Zers, there's not a lot of resources available at all. As a matter of fact, inflation is increasing, the burden on the welfare state is likewise increasing, and the brown hands reach out further and further towards the white's wallet day by day, wanting more and more and more, especially as they reproduce and don't produce. I think that the Generation C is going to have a rough awakening when they realize that what they're trying to conserve is simply no more. I also find something very interesting. There's not really any coherence. There is no longer a culture that builds for a unified national purpose. You know, a national unified purpose that can only arise if the people is unified and homogenous. So that is no longer there. So what that leaves them with is, of course, the Jews running the education systems as well as the media, telling them day by day that, you know, nothing matters. Those traditions you crave, you know, they have no meaning. But at the same time, they don't really listen to old men now, do they? Denialism that they have been taught by the very system, you know, the Zionist-occupied government, dictates to them that nothing holds value. But at the same time, the Jews desperately whisper into their ears, but remember the 6 million, remember the Holocaust, remember colonization, remember the persecution of LGBTIQ, whatever the fuck, people. Remember this, but it holds no value to them anymore. To them, this is just old man talk. This is, man, you're old, shut up. They don't care about what old Shlomo has to say. They don't care about his beady eyes or his wide, fat lips. They don't care about his ugly, hoarse face. They don't care about his weird, flat forehead. They don't care about his disgusting, greasy, leather-like skin that, you know, nervously drips sweats off, you know, sweat drops gathering all over it. They don't care about the old fat kike anymore. They have no interest in listening to him. So let's realize some facts. My generation, the millennials, prioritized gaming consoles, Tinder, and cell phones and apps, and taking useless degrees and putting themselves in debt and complaining about the baby boomer generation. My generation has ultimately been another failure in the struggle for a racist survival. Our generation, the millennials, is another gear in the machinery of 100 years of total right-wing failure. So what can we do? We all know with the current system there is absolutely no future. There is no future for the white man in this system. As a matter of fact, looking at the media, it indicates to me more and more, you know, more than ever, that they really do not want white people to exist. Constantly complaining about white people in public transportation, saying that white people should not have more than one child, or contrarily, that they shouldn't have white children at all and should adopt black children or whatever third world vermin is produced. They want that to be the high priority. They say that there's too many white people on media and they don't really want us at all. So there is no future in the current system. So the question, and ultimately, what is the mission goal of us, you know, what you could say, the failed generations of the national struggle, what is the purpose of us? Well, we can take what we learned and try and formulate it in a way that will be appropriate and, easy to consume by the new generation. What they would find to be interesting, since apparently they do want more. They want fulfillment. They want more than just paying off credit card debt. They want, they want people, fatherland, and faith. That's what they want. They don't really seem just to want to pay off their cell phone debt. So that is an interesting crossroad that we have entered. Now comes the struggle for the new generation's favor and ears and heart.
I think the best way to do that is through them speaking to themselves. This is something that I learned with the now proscribed nationalist organization, National Action. Why they were such a success is because they insisted that only people under the age of 30 could be involved in it. and they were young people speaking to other young people. And that is why it was such a success. So what we need is we need some of these Generation Z to come forward. And as I say, I've had the pleasure of talking to some of them, and I am very, very impressed with them. And that's what we need. I think that we may be seeing some of this with Generation Identity. You've got a young group there, and they are deliberately trying to keep older people out from the group. I mean, they're quite happy to have older people contribute with funds, but out front and speaking to the younger generation, it needs to be young people. So I would suggest that that's one thing that needs to be done, because they don't want to be listening to old people. And another thing is, even though they have technology and they are rejecting technology and they want the person-to-person contact, they still have been brought up with all of this technology and everything that's up to date. So our propaganda needs to be up to date. It needs to be well made. It needs to be on the button with the latest trends. It doesn't want to look old fashioned or out of date. So that's another point that I think we need to concentrate on if we're trying to appeal to them. We have to be bang up to date. It's no good, having last year's memes and trying to attract people. And in order to do that, again, you need young people. You need that verve and that inspiration and that lust for life that, 20-year-olds have, I guess. I mean, and it's the same for each generation. When you were talking there about, this nostalgia that they feel, that was the same in my generation. I can remember a TV series called The Wonder Years, and people would look back to the 60s, and now you've got people that are looking back to the 80s, and wasn't life so much better in the 80s? And what that shows to me is that every generation has, its senses that things are getting worse. It's like an intuition. You know that things are getting worse and you want to stop it, but you don't know how to stop it. But now we do have the internet, and these Generation Z have been brought up with the internet, and they use the internet to find out information on things so that they can form their views rather than forming their views on what the teacher or the professor tells them. And this is why they are turning conservative. This is why they are turning nationalist, because they are finding the truth out online. And this is why the white governments are going absolutely wild trying to shut down the truth online, because they know that it's the next generation. It's the Generation Z that is going to be, that's going to be who they are fighting against in the future. And they want to shut down all this information so they don't find it out, because they know that if they do, they're going to realize that nationalism is what they should be doing. And that's going to inspire them. And they'll be prepared to. Doesn't matter if they go to prison. I mean, we've got people there in prison now who don't care that they're in prison, because they know that their cause is just.
The thing I find very interesting is, again, that they seem to, and we see this in popular cultures, is that with where they all long for the 80s, and they, it's just like I saw this TV show called Stranger Things, and all these there's lots of these movies that seem to have a lot of like cravings towards the safety and comforts of the 80s. They wish they could go back to that when things were better. But it's very counterproductive to put all your energies into wishing for better times. I mean, I could go back and think every day about the grandiose martyrs of 1864 who sacrificed their lives heroically and with fanaticism down the southern borders against the Prussians, putting on the bayonets and the rifles, running against a vastly superior enemy, only to be butchered, but doing it grandiosely and unselfishly because they loved the fatherland and the people and they believed in victory. I could think about those men all I wanted all day long, thinking about, if only we could reawaken that within our people's DNA. But the reality is we can't sit and wish for that all day. That will not really solve our problem, because we're in a different situation now. But what we can do, and what I think we should do, is try and sell the new world, the new order, the new era, what things could be, rather than send it trying to sell long gone sentimentalism, which, has no value. It's not relevant. What we can learn from the past is, we can learn from the failures and the success, but it's not something that should be the end goal, because ultimately we are trying to forge the new man. So we could try and install a program that would sell contrarian ideas to everything modernism is. Or we could try and sell the new era, the new idea, something more for the people, something more for the new generation, something more than just having a mortgage and buying new cell phones and new ads. Ultimately, from what I can see, it does not really hold that much purpose to them. So, as you said, you mentioned generation identity, and I think to some degree that they do have the right idea, that they, you know, are trying to reforge European identity, because European identity has, as a matter of fact, been weakened gratefully for the past, you know, 60 years. I'm actually tempted to say for the past 100 years, because so far, in the grandiose war against Jewry, the white man has taken step by step by step backwards as the Jew has become more and more insolent, and as he drools and spits and yells more in old Talmudic hatred against white men, the white man has simply grown limp, bent his head, dragged his feet backwards nervously, like a kid getting scolded by his mother for having taken a few too many cookies from the jar. So we have to sell the new idea. And you're right, we have to formulate new propaganda, new mythologies. We have to spark what you could say. I still believe our race has testosterone in it. I still believe we have it, and we have to get that going. I had a look at Russia. There's an organization in Russia called Sparta, you know, where young Russian men, rather than consume vodka and smoke cigarettes and die at the age of 56, they have decided to completely quit alcohol and only drink for special occasions and work out, beat up pushers, do things that are productive for themselves and their fatherland and the community. And I think that is really a thing because, you know, we could try and follow the approach of the National Alliance and try and educate the masses. But it's not really a good incentive. We have to offer more than just, you know, books. A lot, let's just face it, not a lot of people have the patience to read, consume, and understand a lot of heavy books. So what we have to sell is a new lifestyle, a whole new purpose, something that is completely in contrast, something unique. Now, young people will be like, yes, this appeals to my nature. This appeals to what I am. And that is how the necessary change can arrive through us completely grabbing control of the new generation and shaping them in the ideas of national socialism or fascism, or as Julius Evola would put it, solar tradition. So that is where the war is. The war is for the favor of the new generation. It's not for, you know, I'm sorry to use this phrase, but we are kind of like fossils at this point, at least in the eyes of nature. We are fossils. So we just have to realize that we have to, as cool looking fossils, try and sell, the world order. We have to sell the truth, the natural order of the world to the people, or to the new generation at least.
Well, you have to encourage them, I think, to look back at what they are looking at. Were they looking at the 80s, and what is it about the 80s that appeals to them so much? Because we've always had people that want to go back, especially in America, to pioneer little Europe, and they want to go back to the 50s or they want to go back to the 60s. What you have to look at is the reason why they want to go back to that time. And what was it that was so good about that? Well, you didn't have gay pride. You didn't have children being taught gay sex at the age of 5 or 6 years old. You didn't have Negroes hanging around on the street corners mugging people. You didn't have Muslim rape gangs. And these are the things that need to be put away with. These are the things that need to be stopped. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we reject modernism and reject the modern way of life. And that's what I think we need to encourage these people to think of. If they've got a fascination for the 80s, what was it about the 80s that was so good? I mean, I dare say that they remember living in white areas, areas where there wasn't that much crime, living in a time before there was terrorism, before the Twin Towers had been taken down, when Islamic terrorism was something that had never been heard of, when acid attacks had never been
before
heard of.
Before state-sanctioned pedophilia.
Yeah. All of that, that's what people are yearning for. And they remember that time. They remember that time when they were young and they felt safe. And that's what they're looking back towards. And I think if we can encourage people to just, that are fascinated by this sort of thing, to think about just what it is that makes them want to return to that time and say to them, that's what you need to be conserving. But it doesn't mean that you need to go back in time. You need to stay going forward, as it were. We need to break down everything that we've got now and reshape it. We need a world that does not run on usury. I mean, that's a central core of this is usury as well, which has meant that young people now can never afford to buy their own homes. And it's usury that has, that made the boomers rich off the backs of everybody else. And you can't blame them for taking the money when they were offered it. I dare say people today would take the money if they were offered it, because they probably thought, well, I'll be able to use this money to help my kids out. But they didn't realize that it was going to push all the property prices up so much that nobody would be able to afford any in 20 or 30 years' time. But that all comes from, it all comes from usury. It all comes from this greed, this capitalist system. I'm not pushing communism here, but just saying the idea that people can make money just from having money is without actually putting anything into it is wrong. And it's even worse than that now. You don't even need to have money. It's just made up, isn't it? The whole banking system now doesn't rely on a gold standard. It doesn't rely on funds that anyone has. It's just ledgers in a book. And they want that to be contactless. They want everybody to be contactless so that they can just shut your money off at will. If they don't like your politics eventually, they want to do away with cash, have everything like that. And that's the sort of thing that we need to be fighting against. And that's the sort of thing that the Generation Z need to be fighting against. I mean, they already don't want to get themselves into debt. They're looking at working while they are at college, because they can see the massive debts that the millennials have got into. I think the Generation X was very, very hedonistic and took a lot of drugs and got really wasted. And I think some of these Generation Zs, that's their parents that were like that. And then you got the millennials that were very, very narcissistic and very liberal and everything goes. And the majority of the SJWs are the millennial generation. And now you've got the Generation Z and all that's been done now. All there is left for them is to return to traditional values, which they seem to be naturally doing. I was so surprised to see that they're actually returning to church. We really need the churches to be traditional as well and stop trying to be, pro-multi-culti, because that's what the urge is for, is traditionalism, isn't it?
But the problem is here, and this is the rude awakening that I think that the new generation, I think some people with a, blink of their eye call them Generation Cyclone. But when that is being said, I think what they're going to realize is that the church institutions are going to continue getting gang raped by Jewry. And as this gang rape of Jewish insolence continues, they're going to realize that their comfort zones of tradition are getting lesser and lesser and lesser. And at some point, just like any other animal in nature, when they get forced into a corner, there only is one way, and that is forward in full attack. And when that happens, it will become the era of jackboots and masks across the faces. So what the generation will have to realize is that there is no going back. There's only forward against the system, against Jewish interests, against Jewry, usury, modernism, communism, capitalism. It's only forward. And without it, it's with the hammer or the sword, it is of no meaning. It is just forward against the system. And that is what we have to sell them. The new era, which awaits us. Because at this point, we can either continue going down the drain of welfare offices and mediocrity and shit, or we can go forward into the new era, a white era, where the world belongs to us, as well as the stars.
I have very little to lose. Their future's been taken away from them. Their lands have been flooded with third world filth. They can't afford houses. They can't afford college, if they go through college, they're not likely to get a job, that they've got to strike out on their own, which will probably mean that they are far more adept and skilled than the generations were before then, because they're having to do everything for themselves. And because they've got nothing left to lose, then they stand a good chance of winning, because the enemy has, you know, he's got everything to lose. So he's going to be fearful, and he is fearful. We, you know, the old have always been fearful of the young and that zest for life that the young have, and they're jealous of it as well. They are jealous of it. Generation Z, they're a great generation, and I firmly believe that they're going to succeed. Now, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Eddie. God bless and hail victory. We'll be right back.